ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، then to begin the book رسالة لطيفة جامعة في أصول الفقه المهمة of the Shaykh the Imam Abd al-Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah. Then with regard to this book, this particular edition, the Dar Ibn Hazm edition of it with the notes accompanying it, then the book as it stands here in this format has been put together by someone whose name is Abu Harith Nadir ibn Sa'id al-Mubarak at Ta'muri. So he has gathered the book in this particular form here with the notes that he has put on the book as well. So this actual book, it begins here with a couple of introductions which carry on to page 12. The notes a couple of the students of knowledge have given as an introduction to the book. Then an actual introduction to the book, Muqaddimah, where he mentions something brief about the book and what he has done in this particular edition of the book. And it goes on to page 18. Then he brings a biography on page 19 of the author. Obviously, the great Sheikh, the author, Abu Abdullah Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, the author of the book, Risala Latifa Jami'a fi Usul al-Fiqh al-Muhimma. This book, with regard to Usul al-Fiqh, the topic of Usul al-Fiqh, the fundamentals of Fiqh, fundamental principles underlying Fiqh. So that biography, sooner or later you should have a translation of what occurs here in this biography here, inshallah. Then he follows that, and what we'll do today, inshallah, on page 25, with Madkhal, a point of entry or an introduction, Baini Yaday of Rasala, literally in front of the treatise. So sort of introduction to the book. And in this he brings some important principles that relate to this. It relates to all the fields of knowledge in general and also with regard to this. So we'll mention it inshallah. So he says, firstly, Mabadi, starting points relating to ilm usul al-fiqh. Starting points relating to this topic that we're studying now, inshallah, the science of, the branch of knowledge of usul al-fiqh, the fundamentals of fiqh. And very often what he quotes here, and it's all, as we said, it's by this person here, Abu al-Harith Nadir ibn Sa'id al-Mubarak at Ta'muri. Very often in the footnotes he'll quote sources, he'll quote a chunk of something from an earlier scholar, either a present-day scholar or an earlier scholar. So all of this will be before we actually get into the work of the Imam al-Sa'di, which will start next time, inshallah. So he says, giving a quote, from the foundations which authors would proceed upon in different fields and branches of knowledge, is that they would mention 10 mabadi, 10 initial points, 10 starting points, through which the branch of knowledge could be recognized. I mean, the authors in any field of knowledge, they'd mention these 10 points. For that field, whatever field you're going to study, they'd mention these 10 points that you need to know. He said, which made clear, or rather which, to arrafu bihadha al-ilm, which, these 10 points, through which this knowledge, this particular branch of knowledge, can be recognized, and which make clear some of its specific qualities and characteristics. mean, they specify this knowledge you're understanding now, the 10 points when you understand, you'll recognize this branch of knowledge now. How is it different to all the other fields of knowledge? What is special about it? He said, so that this student can begin it upon clarity and insight, and enter upon it upon clear guidance and upon a clear way. And they are important and precise points of intent, which give an overall impression of that knowledge, and which causes the one who starts his study to have some familiarity of it. And therefore the authors became accustomed, as we have mentioned, to begin their works with regard to knowledge with an introduction where they would mention the fundamentals. And they mention a couple of references here at the bottom. Al-Musul al-Fiqh of Abdul Wahhab Khalaf, and you can refer to the book Ta'sil al-Usul, Al-Takhrij wa Qawaid al-Jarh wa Ta'dil of Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd rahimahullah. Now he mentions these 10 fundamental points that the writers would mention any or start any study of any branch of knowledge with, he said. And some of the people of knowledge have mentioned these 10 fundamentals. One of the people of knowledge have mentioned these 10 fundamentals by his saying. And he mentions these three lines of poetry. Inna mabadiya kulli fannin ashra al-haddu wal-mawdu'u thumma thamra ونسبة وفضله والواضع والاسم الاستمداد حكم الشارع مسائل والبعض بالبعض اكتفى ومن داري الجميع حاز الشرفا.
So these 10 points are mentioned in these lines of poetry here.
He said, the beginnings of every field of knowledge lies in 10 points. Al-Had, the limit or extent, and the topic, then the fruit, and the degree of importance, and the virtue, and the one who laid it down, and the name, and its derivation, where it's derived from, and the ruling given to it by the legislator, the issues which it covers, and some of them suffice with just some of these points, and whoever comprehends all of them will attain nobility. And he adds a note, and some of them added as an 11th point, sharafuhu, its nobility, the nobility of that science. He mentions a reference for the same book, that Ta'sil of Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd. He said, so proceeding upon their way and following their path and seeking to resemble them, I say, and he's taken this from one of his teachers, obviously the author is a Jordanian, he's taken it from one of his Jordanian sheikhs, Ali al-Halabi. He said, I say, and this, what follows, is an explanation of these 10 points and how they relate to this branch of knowledge, Usul al-Fiqh. The 10 points that we said, the 10 points are applicable to any branch of knowledge. Any branch of knowledge you want to study, science, hadith, etc., etc., tafsir, you can apply these 10 points to gain an understanding of that branch. So these 10 points applied to this branch of knowledge here, Usul al-Fiqh, are as follows. He said, Ilm Usul al-Fiqh, the science of the fundamentals of fiqh. First point, Hadduhu, its limit or its extent. Obviously in Arabic the limit or the extent means the boundary line, that what it covers, what the edges of it, what makes it distinct from anything else. So he said, Hadduhu, the first one, its limit or its extent, meaning ta'rifu, meaning its definition.
And what is the definition of this science, Usul al-Fiqh? And he gives the definition of it.
علم يبحث في القواعد والأدلة الإجمالية الكلية الموصلة للفقه وفي كيفية الاستفادة منها وحال المستفيد.
That it is, its definition, the definition of Usul al-Fiqh is that it is a ilm, science, a branch of knowledge, which researches general and overall principles and evidences which lead on to fiqh. And it researches how benefit is to be derived from them, from these principles, and the condition of the person who will be able to derive benefit.
And I mentioned you can refer later on, but you can refer to page 46 if you need further details and explain that further. So I just mention them here briefly.
So that's the brief definition of Usul al-Fiqh, that it is a knowledge, a science, branch of knowledge, which researches general and overall principles and evidences which lead on to fiqh. It's a means which leads on to what? Which leads on to fiqh. And researches how to benefit from these principles and the condition of the one who will benefit from them. The second point from these ten, its topic. Its topic is, what does it deal with? Its topic is the evidences which lead to awareness of the Islamic rulings. That's what it deals with.
What it is, this is the first point, what it is, it's these principles or fundamentals. That
what it deals with is the second point here. The topic which it deals with is the evidences which lead to awareness of the Islamic rulings and explanation of how to extract them and the means to do so and the condition of the person who derives evidence and who will be able to derive benefit.
Obviously some of these points they require that being written then reflected upon or you sit and think about it sometimes.
The third point is thamratuhu, its fruit, meaning the fruit that you can pluck from it, the result that you get from this branch of knowledge, Usul al-Fiqh. He said that will follow, a number of the fruits will follow on page 48 and page 49 here. And when you get there, he mentions 10 fruits from this knowledge. 10 fruits are produced by it. You'll find on page 48 and 49. The fourth point is nisbatuhu, the degree of importance of this. Meaning, its level with regard to the other branches of knowledge. It is that it is from the legislated sciences, the knowledge or Islamic branches of knowledge. It's one of them. And it, with respect to fiqh and its issues, is just like the science of hadith compared to hadith. And it is just like the fundamentals of grammar is to grammar itself. In other words, Usul al-Fiqh is the fundamentals through which fiqh is rests upon, through which fiqh is attained. Same as science of hadith is the science which the knowledge of hadith rests upon. The fifth point is virtue. Then he brings three points here. Number A, he brings some nice points here, which the scholars quote. He said, "Is virtue, since it is the case that sharaful ilm min sharaful ma'loom, the nobility
of any knowledge is from the nobility of that which is known through it. I mean, how noble a branch of knowledge is follows on from how noble the thing that is known through it is. Clear? Yeah, sure. If sounds not clear, just say, you know, what's going on here. For example, tafsir of the Quran, that seeking to understand the Quran, that you're seeking to understand the words of Allah the Most High. So the importance of tafsir, the honour of tafsir, the virtue of tafsir, is seen by the virtue of whose words you're seeking to understand. So likewise here, in this knowledge here, the excellence or the nobility of this branch of knowledge is with respect to the virtue of that which is known through it. And as we said, as is clear, usul al-fiqh is fundamentals which enable a person to arrive at fiqh, the understanding of fiqh, the Islamic rulings. So whatever virtue the Islamic rulings have, then that is the virtue that usul al-fiqh has. He said, so the usul al-fiqh, the fundamentals of fiqh, has very great virtue, since through it, what was intended by the Lord of the whole of creation is understood. And likewise, what was intended by his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those meaning, usul al-fiqh is fundamentals that enable us to reach fiqh. And fiqh is what? Is to understand what Allah the Most High meant and what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant. So that is fiqh. Understanding of the rulings, what was meant by Allah the Most High, what was meant by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is fiqh. And the way to attain that is through usul al-fiqh. So that shows you some of the virtue of this knowledge. It enables someone at the end of the day to attain that. Awareness of what Allah the Most High intended, what his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended. The second point, point number B, it has the same virtue and value as its goal, which is fiqh. As we said, usul al-fiqh is a means to get to fiqh. So it has the same virtue as the goal which it enables you to reach, fiqh. It's the same virtue as that. Whatever virtue fiqh has, usul al-fiqh has as well. Because it is the means to it. Point number C. You should know that usul al-fiqh is one of the most tremendous of the branches of Islamic knowledge. And the greatest of them in value. And the greatest of them in benefit. And this is a quote from the book Muqaddima Ibn Khaldun. The sixth point, wadi'uhu, the person who laid it down. He said, the first one who wrote concerning it and laid down its fundamental principles and who wrote it down as an independent field of knowledge according to what has reached us is Imam Shafi'i, Muhammad ibn Idris rahimahullah, who died in the year 204. And as far as we know, as far as the scholars mention, they write in their books, as far as we can ascertain and know, that the first person who laid down this usul al-fiqh, the principles, fundamentals of fiqh, as an independent science, was Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. Obviously, in the like of his book, Ar-Risala of Imam Shafi'i, the book which is still there now, still printed now. It's a famous, famous book. He said, then we have to, he mentioned a very important point, bearing in mind that the companions, radiallahu anhum, they knew it. I mean, we don't say that this science here, Imam Shafi'i started it off, it was unknown before his time, that those before they didn't even know of it or didn't understand it or... No, we don't say that. That would be a false understanding. He said, knowing that the companions, radiallahu anhum, they knew it,
on account of their witnessing the coming down of the revelation, and their awareness of the different states of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore it became tabi'ah, something natural for them. And therefore they understood what the wordings indicated. And they knew the correct evidences from those things that were incorrect, even though they did not give it a specific name. What he's indicating is that the companions, when they heard an ayah, when they heard a hadith, they didn't have to, like as later scholars come, they didn't have to compare it with other ayahs and see, is it a general, is it specific, is there something, was it abrogated, did something come later? They didn't need to do that. They were there on the spot with the Prophet ﷺ. They saw the circumstances, what was happening when an ayah came down, in what circumstances the Prophet ﷺ spoke. They were actually there on the spot. So they had all of this that later scholars had to try and derive. They had it with them on the spot at the time. It was already with them. They didn't have to think to the Prophet ﷺ, that order of his, was it a command of obligation? Was it a command of recommend? They were there on the spot. They knew what they needed to know in that regard. Then he said, carrying on, he said, so they knew, radiallahu anhum, then he quotes a long quote, the intents of the legislation, and they attained them. They laid down its fundamentals, and their thinking was engrossed in its ayahs, and they worked earnestly to realize and implement its fundamental points and its goals, and they cast away all hopes and expectations, and they utilized knowledge to rectify their deeds. They hastened towards good deeds, and they outstripped anyone else. They rushed towards good deeds, and no one else ever caught them, until the sun of discernment arose upon the horizon of their insight, and the light of certainty shone in their hearts, and the fountains of wisdom appeared upon the tongues. So they indeed, their companions, they were the people of Islam and Iman and Ihsan. And that, how could that not be the case when they were the first ones who knocked upon that door? So they were the elite of the elite, and they were the most astute of the people of understanding. And they were stars through whom the people of understanding are guided by following them. Radiallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them, and with those who succeeded them, taking them as an example to follow. And they were an example for those who wish to be upon guidance, and upon those who followed them upon goodness until the day of recompense. And that's all a quote, again, it's a quote from earlier books which he mentioned, Al-Muwafaqat of Ash-Shatibi. And you can refer to a second book that he mentions. The seventh point is its name, the name of this branch of knowledge. It is Ilm Usul al-Fiqh, literally the knowledge, the science of the fundamentals of fiqh. The eighth point, where it is derived from, istimdaduhu, where it's derived from. It is from tatabbu, carefully following, carefully reading, and al-istiqra, repeatedly researching the book of Allah, the mighty book of Allah, and the prophetic sunnah, and the narrations from the Salaf, and the Arabic language, and what is indicated by clear intellect, aql, what is indicated by clear intellect, which conforms with authentic text.
Then the ninth point is its ruling, its hukum, its ruling. And he gives two rulings here with regard to it. The first is its ruling is that it is fardu ayn. This is the knowledge of Usul al-Fiqh. It's fardu ayn. It's an individual obligation upon everyone who puts himself forward to deliver fatawa, verdicts, and ijtihad, to strive to extract rulings from texts. So that's the case with regard to a person who's that situation, a person who puts himself forward to deliver Islamic verdicts, and ijtihad, to perform ijtihad, it's fard ayn upon him to have knowledge of usul al-fiqh. Then he carries on, and it is fardu kifaya. It is a communal obligation upon the ummah, upon the Islamic nation as a whole. It's a communal obligation, fardu ayn. It's obligation upon every single individual, everybody who is in that category there. Everyone who falls in the first category delivers verdicts or does ijtihad. It's fardu ayn upon every one of them to have knowledge of usul al-fiqh. Then the second is those who are not of that state, the rest of the Muslims beside them, then it's fardu kifaya, a communal obligation. This means somebody in the community of Islam has to carry it out. Sufficient number of the Muslims have to carry that out. He said, and it is a communal obligation upon the nation as a whole. If some of them carry it out, a sufficient number, so that the need is fulfilled, then it falls away from the rest of them. And Allah knows best. The tenth point here is masailuhu, the matters which it deals with. He said that is the subjects which it is attached to, and by means of which the mujtahid, the person, the scholar who strives to extract rulings, by means of which the scholar, the mujtahid, will be guided in his striving and his deriving to the Islamic rulings. He strives, he has the texts, he performs his striving, his ijtihad, and by use of these principles, the principles of Usul al-Fiqh, he will end up with the correct Islamic rulings. The 11th point is sharafuhu, the 11th out of the 10, sharafuhu, its nobility, is indeed, he said, rather, it is from the nobility of what is known through it, and its goal. Then he mentions some points here, a second thing here, a suggested methodology with regard to acquiring usul al-fiqh. He said, our Imam As-Sa'di, obviously the author of the main book, our Imam As-Sa'di, rahimahullahu ta'ala, said, as for al-ilmu nafi', as for beneficial knowledge, then it is, and he defines this thing, obviously al-ilmu nafi', obviously these two are the two great concepts and two great matters that we ask Allah for and ask Allah to grant us. Al-ilmu nafi' wal-amal as-salih, beneficial knowledge and righteous action. So the first of these, al-ilmu nafi', beneficial knowledge. He said, As-Sa'di, as for al-ilmu nafi', beneficial knowledge, then it is the knowledge which purifies the hearts and the souls, which produces the fruit of bliss in the two abodes, in this life and the hereafter. And it is that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with regard to hadith and tafsir and fiqh, and whatever will assist upon that with regard to branches of knowledge of the Arabic language, in accordance with the condition of the particular time and place in which the person lives.
and to specify the books which the person should occupy himself with will vary in accordance with varying times and places. I mean, to lay down one for any branch of knowledge, what's most beneficial in that branch of knowledge, it will vary according to the different people and different times. And he said, and the approximate condition, in our view here, is that the student of knowledge should strive to memorize an abridged book, a mukhtasar, from the abridged works of that particular branch of knowledge which he occupies himself with. And if that is impossible or difficult for him to remember its words, for it is impossible or difficult for him to memorize its actual words, then let him read over it repeatedly, reflecting upon its meanings, until its meanings become firmly implanted in his heart. And then the rest of the books that follow will be like an explanation for it, and a clarification, and will add further details for it, for that basis which he has already recognized and comprehended, which is already understood and comprehended. And so what he's mentioning here is the best thing to do in any branch of knowledge: get the shortest beneficial book you can get on the topic, and if you can, memorize it by heart. If you can't memorize it by heart, then at least read over it and understand it, and then from then you can move on, and everything that follows it, if you've truly understood it, everything that follows it will be easier to understand, inshallah. Then he said, for if a person memorizes the fundamental works, the basic works, and he gains full ability to understand them, then the books of that field, all of them will be easy for him, the smaller ones and the larger ones. وَمَنْ ضَيَّعَ الْأُصُولَ حُرَمَ الْأُصُولَ حُرِمَ الْوَصُولُ. Whoever loses or misses out on the basic works, then he'll miss out on reaching the goal which he desires. So whoever is eager upon what we have mentioned and seeks the aid of Allah, then Allah will aid him and will bless him in his action and in the path which he proceeds upon. And whoever follows in seeking knowledge other than this beneficial path, then he will just waste time and will not reach, or rather he will not attain except tiredness, as is known through what is witnessed and what is experienced. And the reality bears witness to it. And if Allah makes easy for him, if Allah enables him to have a teacher who is able to teach well and able to follow the path to bring about understanding, then the means leading to knowledge will have been completed for him. This was all the quote from Imam Sa'di from his book Bahajatu قلوب الأبرار وقرة عيون الأخبار. With an addition from Al-Fatawa Sa'diyya, the Fatawa of Imam Sa'di. Then he carries on with the second quote. He said, and based upon this, it is essential to first lay down the fundamentals and the principles for every field of knowledge which you seek, by correctly understanding the basic work and its abridgment with a sheikh who is precise, not by acquiring the knowledge just on one's own alone, and it is essential to take on learning in due stages. Bittidaruj, in due stages. They mention some, that's where he ends that quote there. That quote is from Hilyat Talib al-Ilm of Bakr Abu Zayd, rahimahullah. He just mentions a few little points here which might be obviously especially beneficial for us, particularly in this country, the like of this country here, where we don't find any sheikhs. He said, on the point that studying with a sheikh who is precise, he mentions a footnote here, that this is one of the most beneficial manners of taking knowledge. Sitting with a sheikh who is precise. As was said by Ash-Shatibi in his tremendous book, Al-Muwafaqat. Then he said, on the point of not just sitting and acquiring knowledge on one's own, they ask a question here in the footnote. Here there is a question. Is it possible to acquire knowledge without a teacher or not? You just sit for yourself with the book. Is that possible or not? We've seen that what's best is you sit with a sheikh, but what if you can't, or the like? Is it possible? You just say, there's no way, I can't just sit with the book myself, I might as well give up. So is it possible to acquire knowledge without a sheikh, without a teacher? He said the people differ, I was referring to the people of knowledge, the people differ in that regard, and the response is that it's being possible is accepted. However, what actually happens in customary and usual practice is that it is usually necessary that there has to be a teacher. And that is overall something agreed upon. In the overall general cases, you need a teacher. And they said that knowledge used to be in the hearts of the men, and then it moved on until it was found in the books. And then at that stage, its keys, the keys to the knowledge, remained in the hands of the men. And the books on their own will not benefit the student. The student will not benefit from them at all. That is what is witnessed usually. And then there's an addition there. And that which cannot all be reached. وَإِنْ كَانَ لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلَّهُ لا يترك جله أو لا يترك كله لا يترك الله هكذا with the meaning that which cannot be all of it attained, then a small amount of it should not be left. This is a line of poetry that they mention. Sheikh Albani rahimahullah used to very often mention this line of poetry with a slight different wording, the usual wording, that ما لا يدرك كله لا يترك جله. That which is such that you can't acquire all of it. It doesn't mean that you don't leave most of it. If you can acquire most of it, a good portion, the fact you can't acquire all of it doesn't mean I abandon it. If you can acquire a good deal of it through a certain means, then you get what you get what you can from it. The point here being that if you can sit with a proper scholar, then sit with the scholar, and that's the end of the matter. If you can't, if all you can do is sit with the book, you can't do any better. They don't say no. I've read some scholars say you can't benefit that way, so I'm not going to. So I'll just sit without reading the book. That's not beneficial that way. Then to continue, he said, and be eager, wahris, ala an tuhraz. And be eager upon taking and preserving the fundamental books, the fundamental basic books. And you should know that no book will fully suffice you in place of another book. And do not just fill up your library and jumble up your thoughts with books which are rubbish, especially books of the innovators, because they are deadly poison. This again is from Hilyat Talib al-Ilm. And you should know, because all this has been principles which he's quoting from people's books with regard to knowledge, and you should know
that in front of you there are affairs which you have to give due attention to in every field which you are studying. Firstly, studying a mukhtasar, a brief work on it. Secondly, correctly understanding it with a precise sheikh. Thirdly, not occupying yourself with longer works and with detailed works before you have precisely understood the basic work and understood its issues. Fourthly, do not move on from a shorter work to a different one without something that necessitates that, because this will only lead to dhajr, trouble and boredom and the like of that. Fifthly, snatching the points of benefit and principles related to knowledge. Whenever you come across them, catching hold of them. Sixthly, gathering yourself upon seeking knowledge and upon rising in it, and to give importance to it, and to have a burning desire to acquire and to reach that which is higher, until you are able to take on the larger works, being upon a trustworthy path. Again, this is Ram Hilliot, Talib al-Ilm. He said, and there is no way for you to become a serious student of knowledge except by idmam talab, by persisting constantly upon seeking knowledge, and by searching vigorously in this affair, and by revising a great deal, and spending sleepless hours and wakefulness and understanding, along with taqwa, being dutiful to Allah, and practicing the religion, the deen, the true and strong religion, and being just, and by going constantly to the gatherings of the scholars, and seeking to be careful and precise upon what is correct. If you do not do this, then leave off writing altogether. فَدَعْ عَنْكَ الْكِتَابَةَ لَسْتَ مِنْهَا وَلَوْ سَوَّدْتَ وَجْهَكَ بِالْمِدَادِ. This is a line of poetry meaning roughly that leave off writing. Because you're not from it at all. You've got nothing to do with it at all. Even if you blacken your face with the ink. He said, Allah the Mighty Majestic said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Surah Al-Nahl, the 16th Surah, Ayah 43. With the explanation, so ask the people of the reminder if you do not know. He said, so if you find this from yourself, what we've described, that you have understanding and truthfulness and are upon the religion and have some piety, then well and good. Otherwise, don't tie yourself out. And if desires overcome you, and blind bigotry to an opinion and to a madhab, then by Allah, don't just tie yourself out. If you know that you're just rushing around blindly, neglecting the limits laid down by Allah, then let us have rest from you. I mean, leave us alone. For after a short while, that which is worthless will be uncovered, and that which is counterfeit will be overturned. And evil plot
does not rebound except upon the people who lay it. In a footnote, this quote is coming from the book Tadhkirat al-Huffaz, the work of Imam al-Dhahabi. Then he said, "So be, O student, as Imam al-Dhahabi said, taqiyan, a person of taqwa, dhakiyan, a person of astuteness, cleverness, nahwiyan, a person who has knowledge of the Arabic grammar, lughawiyan, knowledge of the Arabic language, zakiyan, a person who is purified, hayyan, a person with a sense of shame, salafiyan, a salafi. And do not slacken with regard to seeking knowledge right until death. You do so with a pure intent and with humility." This has been a quote from the book of Imam al-Dhahabi, Sir al-Nubula, volume 13, page 380. And he said, "And be firm upon passing your hours in seeking knowledge. For inna man thabata nabat. Whoever remains firm, or that which remains firm, whoever remains firm will grow." Then he gives a quote, he ends this, he says, the great scholar Ibn Badran al-Dimashqi said, "You should know that we," he gives an example from himself, something that they learned while they were seeking knowledge. He said, the great scholar Ibn Badran al-Dimashqi said, "You should know that we were guided by the favour of Allah the Most High, we were guided by His favour, He the Most High. Whilst we were seeking knowledge, we were guided to a principle, and it is that we used to go to a basic text first." We go to actually just the text without any explanation, just the basic text. We would go to the basic text first. And we would take from it a sufficient portion for a lesson. Then we would occupy ourselves with trying to understand the sentence without looking at its explanation. And we would apply ourselves to it. We'd work on it, apply ourselves to it, until we thought that we had understood it. Then, at that stage, we would look at the explanation. And we would look at it, we'd look at the explanation. Just the same way as we looked upon the first, the same way we treated the basic text, we treat the explanation the same way. Using it as a test for our understanding. We look at the explanation and then we can see now, did we understand the text now? We look at the explanation now, did we understand the text properly? So if we found in our understanding any mistake, we would correct it. Then we would move on to seeking to understand the explanation, just as we did with the text. Then when we thought that we had understood it, we would go to the hashia, to the annotations. Sometimes you have the main text, then you have an explanation, then you have a third level, further little notes, hashia, annotation. If it had an annotation, we would look at that then, using it as a test for our thoughts. So if we knew that we had understood the lesson, then we would leave the book and we would occupy ourselves with picturing its matters in our mind. We would memorize it. Therefore, memorizing it, understanding it, and having pictured it. Not just memorizing words. Then we would strive to give its meaning with words from ourselves, not sticking to the phrases used by the author. Then we would go to the teacher to read. And there we would be able to test our own thoughts in the lesson. And anything that was difficult for us, we would be able to correct it there. And we could turn attention to whatever the teacher brought from additional points upon the text and the explanation. And we used to hold that whoever read a book, a single book, on a single field, in a single
field of knowledge in this manner, then all the books of that field of knowledge will become easy for him. If he studied just that one book, if he studied it in that way, all the rest of the books of that field of knowledge will become easy for him. The shorter ones and the longer ones. And its principles would be confirmed in his mind. And the affair was like that. In a footnote, they mention this is taken from An Madkhal ila Madhab al Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, of the great scholar Abdul Qadir ibn Badran al Dimashqi. Then he said, and our Shaykh Muhammad ibn Uthman, rahimahullah, he used to say to them, it is not befitting for a person who reads a book that he should ever think that he's going to read that book for a second time. Because this idea will prevent him from understanding the whole of the book. Rather, he should imagine that he will never ever go back to it a second time. And he used to say, every book comprises some matters which are found in that which is less than it, and it will have an increase. So carefully understand that which is less than it. Carefully be sure to have understood what is less than it, so that your effort can be turned to that which is an addition, to understanding the addition. He said, and when I took his advice and accepted it, I did not require in my reading with the teachers in the different branches of knowledge in different fields more than 6 years. So may Allah reward him with good and grant him that he lives in the gardens of paradise. Amen. Then what they mention here, which we'll finish on inshaAllah, he said, and here is a methodology which we suggest with regard to ilm usul al-fiqh in three stages. The first level, the second level, and the third level. I'll just quickly read the books that they mention, so what they suggest here. At the first level, they suggest you go through these five books. Firstly, Risala Latifa Jami'a fi Usul al-Fiqh al-Muhimma of Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di, which is this book, the text of this book here. The second book is At-Ta'liqat al-Munifa ala Fusul al-Risala al-Sa'diya al-Latifa, which is the notes which you'll find in this book, the notes on the text of Abu al-Harith ibn Sa'id al-Ta'muri. The third book they suggest is Iqaz Himam Ulil Absar of Salih Al-Fullani, a small book on Usul al-Fiqh. The fourth one is Sharh Al-Waraqat of Al-Juwayni. It's the famous book in Usul al-Fiqh, one of the famous books, Al-Waraqat of Al-Juwayni, a very small book. This explanation of it, Sharh Al-Waraqat of Abdullah Al-Fawzan, which is here somewhere. The second level they mention, or rather for the fifth book, An-Nubadh fi Usul al-Fiqh. Last but not least, An-Nubadh fi Usul al-Fiqh of the great Imam Ali ibn Hazm al-Andalusi. The second level I mentioned, after a person completed that level, the second level I mentioned is four books. Firstly, Ma'alim Usul al-Fiqh inda Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah of Muhammad al-Jizani. Secondly, Al-Faqih wal-Mutafaqih والخطيب البغدادي. Thirdly, الرسالة of Imam Shafi'i. And fourthly, إعلام الموقعين عن رب العالمين. Large book of Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya. And the third level they mention five books. Firstly, إرشاد الفحول إلى تحقيق الحق من علم الأصول, the book of Imam Shawkani. Secondly, إتحاف ذوي البصائر بشرح روضة النظائر of Ibn Qudama of Abd al-Karim al-Namla. Thirdly, Al-Ihkam fi Usul al-Ahkam, the great work of Imam Ibn Hazm. Fourthly, Al-Ihtisam of Al-Shatibi
And fifthly, al-muwafaqat, again, of al-Shatibi. And then they say at the end with a quote here, which is quite poetical, so you're going to get an extremely rough translation as usual, that, and here the pens stop with us in this field, we have written here in just an abridged format. If we were to speak at great length for the student of who studies books, however, people's desire, people's intent fall short. And people's turning attention in our time to knowledge is such that its garden has become like dry chaff blown around by the wind. Its branches have wilted and its streams are in need of water. So we ask Allah the Most High that He should raise up beacons for it and renew the desire of its people to turn attention to it by His favour and His generosity. Amen. And that's quoted from Al-Madkhal ila Madhab al-Imam Ahmad. And what follows is a khutbatul risala, the address of Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di, which he began his book with, and then the actual start of the book. Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad.
This is the version of the book.